know, while folks are giving here in the church and we're worshiping with tithes and offerings, the girls are playing, I would remind you who are watching through Facebook or watching on our website that there's an opportunity for you to share in this as well. On our homepage is a menu bar. You can click on that at the top of the page. A little menu will drop down. It'll give you the opportunity to give in online to the work here of the church. We're very grateful for you who are doing that. Those that's joining us via Facebook right now, you are part of us. I mean that from the depths of my heart. You're part of us. You're part of our worship. You're part of our church family. And we're glad you're there. We're grateful that you've shared some time with us this morning. We don't take that for granted. We're very grateful that you're a part of us. While the girls are playing, we're not handshaking and all, but we could stand and wave at someone and let them know we're glad they're here and part of the service. You know, we can do that and give you an opportunity just to meet and greet a little bit there today in that fashion. Alrighty, we're not going to spread out a lot. But we do want you to have this privilege, this opportunity to just let everybody know you love them. And those of you there on Facebook, those of you watching via the internet, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for you and grateful for you today as well. Finishing up here, just take your hymn book. After the songs, and if you noticed how the songs were going this morning, trust in Jesus, faith in God, how good He's been to us. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me tell you something. Your faith will never be misplaced in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, never, never. He that is in eternity past, He's eternal now, and in the eternities will be there. Your faith is well placed in Him. 241 in your hymn books. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Let's sing a verse of this before Brother Josh comes to sing for us. I started to say sing for us, Josh. No, he's going to preach. We won't let him sing. Actually, he can sing, but he don't want you to know that. He likes to hide this stuff. Here we go. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tell Him to take Him at His word. Just to know upon His promise. I love it. To know, thus saith the Lord. Tell Him now, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. More and more, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Let's do that fourth verse. I'm so glad I learned to trust precious Savior. Let me hear you now. And I know that Thou art with me. Will Jesus, Jesus, how I You can be seated this morning. What a blessing. Brother Josh, come on and take us as we travel through the Bible.
We'll be in the book of Nahum in the Old Testament. That's not one we turn to real often, so I'll give you some time to find that. In the Old Testament, if you find Jonah and find Micah, then it's right there, Nahum, right before the book of Habakkuk. In the Old Testament, or if you want to turn to the New Testament book of Matthew and turn back a few pages, you'll stumble upon this book of Nahum. Just three chapters long, and we'll see the powerful message that it has to us about who our God is in relation to us. And so we'll be in Nahum chapter number one. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence, thanking you for this opportunity to be here together today with brothers and sisters in Christ to gather together in one, as one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can lift up your name and we can worship you in spirit and in truth in this place today. And we're grateful for your mighty love for us. And we're grateful for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. May we hear your voice speaking to our hearts. May our hearts be receptive to what you would share to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would remove the distractions in my mind and my thoughts in every mind and every one who is here. I pray that you would bind the devil from hindering and attacking the seed of your word as it goes forth today, whether that be through song as the Macklemore family has powerfully sung, or whether that be through the preaching of your word. May Jesus be lifted up and magnified. May you help us to receive what you have for each one of us today. May we go from this place more committed to you than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Nahum, chapter number 1, the book begins like this in verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. And then he begins right into his message. But he begins speaking about Nineveh. Now, it's important for us to set the context of this book because this prophet was speaking to a specific group of people in a specific place at a specific time. And if we don't understand that historical context, the rest of it won't make sense to us. And so he is writing about 100 years after Jonah. You remember how Jonah went to Nineveh and preached a message of repent, or judgment from God is coming. And they repented and turned to the Lord. Well, 100 years later, they had completely forgotten all of that. A couple of generations had passed and totally forgot about everything of that commitment to the God of Israel. And they had turned away from him, turned back to their false gods, their idols, and were worshiping and serving them instead of the one true God that they had committed to. And so God's patience has reached its end with this people, and he's going to raise up another nation to take them captive, to bring in judgment against them. And so we see what God is going to do to that nation of Assyria, the capital city being the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is in modern day Iraq. The city of Mosul in Iraq is close to the ancient ruins of Nineveh. It's been buried by the sands of time. If it wasn't for Bible scholars, if it wasn't for the Word of God itself, most of us would have no reason to think of Assyria or the Assyrian Empire. But in their heyday, they were a world power. They were a major player on the world stage. They were a force to be reckoned with. Their kings were often very prideful. There's some historical records of how the kings would boast and brag of how great they were and all their military prowess, all the things that they could accomplish, all the things that they have done. They basically exalted themselves up as being some kind of a god in front of everyone else. And we see that Nahum is writing to this people and saying, your pride is exalting you, but God is about to humble you. And God allowed other nations to come in and to take over and defeat the Assyrians. And now we don't even remember the Assyrians except for times like this when we are looking into God's Word. You see, their nation was at a crossroads. Jonah came and God sent a message of repent or you're going to be destroyed. And they got right with God there. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. And we'll speak more about that. But now, little by little, step by step, they slid away from God. And they had gone into God's judgment coming against them. And Nahum writes about what is going to happen to this nation. But before he gets into chapter 2 and chapter 3 describing the judgment that was coming against them, he begins in chapter 1, verse 2, describing the character and the nature of who God is. And so we see this beautiful characteristics of who God really is on display, starting in verse 2. And I want to read down through verse 8. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, the flower of Lebanon, languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. But with an overrunning flood He will make utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue His enemies. In this passage, I see an interplay, a struggle, if you will. We got to find the right balance on these things. The God of justice and the God of mercy. And there's a tension that exists between these two truths in God's Word. That God is just. And He's also merciful. And you read a passage like this and you begin to see, well, what about the God of love? What about the God of mercy? What about the God of grace? It starts out saying God is jealous. And I thought jealousy was a bad thing. How can God be jealous? Remember what I said. These people had committed themselves to worshiping and serving Almighty God. And God is jealous for His people like a husband is jealous for his wife or a wife for her husband. When something threatens that commitment and committed relationship, that covenant, if you will, relationship, then there should be a righteous jealousy that springs up within us when that covenant is threatened to be broken. And so we see that God is jealous for His people. He has committed Himself to His people. And in the same way, He is jealous with a righteous jealousy. He longs for us to know Him and be committed to Him. And yet it says that the Lord is slow to anger at the beginning of verse 3. He had been patient with them and been patient and patient and patient. And they kept going away and away and away from God. And can I illustrate all that I'm talking about? Trying to find this balance between God's justice and God's mercy by going into the courtroom. So if you want to put something in your Bible in the book of Nahum and flip over with me into Romans chapter number 3. I think in the New Testament book of Romans chapter number 3 we see a wonderful description of this God of justice and this God of mercy at the same time. And I think when we think in terms of a courtroom setting, it helps us to put it into our minds and into our thoughts who God really is. I want to pick up reading in Romans 3 and start around verse 19. It says in Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So imagine that you have committed a crime, and that you get arrested for the crime that you commit. Now, you can pick whatever crime you want to pick for yourself, but don't get lost in thinking about which crime you want to commit. And please, please, please don't go out from here and commit whatever crime you're thinking of. But you have committed a crime, and you have to come before the judge. Now, they will ask you and tell you how you broke the law. And the law, it says, cannot save us. The law cannot deliver us. The law, in verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We can't be made right by the law. The law only shows us when we are wrong. We have a speed limit. That way we know when we break it. And I'm sure most of you are like me and you break it all the time. But the old saying is the rules were made to be broken, right? That's what they say. But we know what the law says. And we know when we step out of that, that we are not within the bounds of the law. For by the law, is speaking specifically here in Scripture, not of the American law or our local law or whatever else. Of course, it's speaking about the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, the other Old Testament laws. By obeying those rules and regulations of the Old Testament is the knowledge of sin. Notice it does not say the forgiveness of sins. It says the knowledge of sin. It shows us where we have stepped out of bounds. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we go inside the courtroom, and you're standing there before the judge, and you look up to the judge, and the judge hears what you have done, and we try to plead our case. How do you plead? Many people would say, not guilty, not guilty. I didn't do anything wrong. And the judge looks at the evidence and examines the evidence. Let's say that you are caught red-handed in whatever you were doing. And so the judge says, okay, the evidence points to the fact that you are guilty, and this is why you are guilty. And many people today have a problem getting to this first place where they say, yes, I am guilty. You know, the Old Testament law shows us that we have stepped out of bounds, doesn't it? It shows us when we have told a lie. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, I have. Have you ever stolen something? Yes, I have. And you know, you can go down the list looking at the Ten Commandments and see all the ways that we have stepped out of God's bounds. But just knowing that truth is not enough to help us. That's not enough to get us where we need to be. That's not enough to deliver us out of our sins. It just pricks our conscience and helps us to know that we are guilty. So we cannot say, I'm not guilty. We have to admit first, yes, I am guilty. I have done that. We have to agree with the judge, if you will, and say, I am guilty. I have committed those things. But many people start waving their hands and say, wait a second, judge. Yes, yes, I did this one thing that I'm accused for here today. But look at my record. Look at my hours of community service. Look at all the good things that I have done for my community. Look at all the people that I have helped. I give money to this community organization and to this nonprofit. Look how many dollars I gave away last year. Look at all the hours of community service that I put in. Let's imagine that somebody just killed your best friend, and they're standing before the judge, and they're telling the judge all these kinds of things. Look how good of a person I am in the community. Would you say, you know what, judge, they are a good person. Just let them go. Just let them off the hook. Yes, they killed my best friend, but it's okay. Just let them go. They've done a lot of good community service. I think there's something, at least within me and probably within all of you, that is crying out, that is unfair, that's unjust, that's not how justice works. Am I right? Now that is screaming out within us. And I believe that that is God who has implanted His view of justice and righteousness within our hearts. And so when we cry out, no, that was my best friend, they have to pay for that specific crime. Why do we treat God that way when it comes to our own personal sins? We try to deal with God and bargain with God. Okay, God, yes, I see that I'm guilty, but look at this good stuff that I'm doing. I'm really not that bad. Hey, look over there. Look at Hitler. Hitler was a terrible person. Look at all the things he did. I'm not as bad as he was. Is that what the person is on trial for? Is what Hitler did? No. You're on trial for your own self. What you have done. What I have done. We all stand before God as guilty. And so the judge, if he is a just judge, and that's what Nahum was pointing to, that God is the just judge. He does uphold justice. He does uphold righteousness. He cannot just excuse it. He cannot just overlook it and say, ah, it's no big deal. So you killed somebody. Ah, that's no big deal. You've done a lot of good things. That makes up for it. Just go on, live your life however you want to. Don't worry about it. We want God to do that in our flesh, but that's not justice. That's not who God is. Nahum points out to that view of God's justice. And he points it to the Assyrians and said, you have been stepping all over the grace and the mercy and the love and the patience of God that's been extended to you. You've gone your own way. It's time for the justice of God to take precedence. And God is always just. He is always fair. He is always right. And He absolutely hates sin. We cannot sugarcoat it. We cannot cover it over. I said before, and I'll say it again, that if we could just see from God's perspective how ugly our sin is, we wouldn't try to rationalize it. We wouldn't try to give excuses. It's just a little pornography. It's not really pornography. It's not really lying. It's not really cheating. It's not really stealing. How we try to justify our sins. And we try to make ourselves feel better. We even change the name of our sin so that we don't have to call it sin, don't we? And we can look at many, many examples of that. Abortion has been changed to all kinds of names, like just a medical procedure. And they call it these fancy medical terms and take away the horror of the murder that's being committed there. And they try to sugarcoat things to make it look less heinous than it is. And we do the same thing. I don't want to say they without saying we. And we are not, we stand before God, as it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all in the same boat. We have all sinned. We've all missed the mark. And by our works, by our goodness, we can never gain entrance to heaven. We can never gain what we need by our own self. And so the judge of all eternity looks at us in our sin and says, yes, you are guilty. And does it stop there? That's what we've got to consider. Does it stop there? Or does it go on? Yes, thank God. It doesn't stop at Romans 3:23. It goes on to describe what happens. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. A lot of important words in those verses. We are redeemed, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it talks about the propitiation. That just means the sinless substitute for our sins. I want to get back to that in just a second. Then it says there in verse 25 that He is the propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. Remission is an important word too. It means the removal, the doing away with of our sins. God is just, but He's also the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So we stand before the judge as guilty, and the judge looks down at us and declares us guilty. He passes sentence upon us. And then that's when we begin to compare ourselves to everybody else. Well, I don't deserve the same sentence that they deserve. I didn't do anything that bad. Do you see the punishment that we receive? And a lot of people struggle with, how can hell exist? How can hell be eternal? Hell is really the quarantine of evil. Evil has to be quarantined forever somewhere. You cannot have heaven if there is not a hell. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Evil is that place, hell is that place where evil is locked away, quarantined for all of eternity. And that's the only way that heaven can be pure and heaven can be heaven with the presence of Christ. But there's something else we need to consider when we think about the eternity of that place called hell. And that is, who is the one that you and I have sinned against? Our punishment in this lifetime in American justice system, our punishment is usually based on who or what we sin against. In other words, if I go out in the parking lot after church and pick out whichever car I want to drive home and break through the windshield and get in and hotwire it, if you can still do that on these newer cars, probably not, but whatever you can do to steal somebody's car, and I pick out the car that I want and drive off, and then I run it off into a lake and get rid of the evidence. And so I am going to be judged for what I did to that vehicle. I'm going to have to restore all the damages and pay for all the things that I messed up, aren't I? And so I may have to spend some time in jail for what I did if I can't pay the money back. I sinned against a car, in other words. But if I go to your house, and I'm not going to do this, and this sounds even terrible to even say it out loud, but if I kill your beloved dog, and I'm going to be in a lot of hot water, a lot more than when I did something to your car. I took the life of an innocent animal, and I'm going to have to pay an even higher price. But let's say that we kill another person, and we got an even higher price to pay versus an animal. And so when we sin against the highest being of all, eternal God. And so that's why we have an eternal punishment for our sins in this life. We have sinned against a holy, eternal God. And until we understand that, we won't really understand how ugly and how horrible our sin really is. But the judge is just, and he passes sentence. We've got to pay that sentence. But thank God we read these wonderful words: redemption, propitiation, remission. It's like the judge is there, and he's passing sentence, declaring the sentence. But then he steps down and he steps out from behind his judge's bench, and he comes down to where the accused is. And he says, yes, I know that you're accused. I passed sentence on you, but I've got a deal to make with you. And he reaches in his pocket and he says, I'm going to pay your fine. I'm going to pay what you owe. Maybe he says, you deserve life in jail. I'm going to offer myself to take your place in jail. Would you accept that gift? How many of us would say, no, thank you. I want to go my own way. I want to go to jail. I want to keep trying to pay it on my own. I want to keep doing it my way. I want to keep trying to get there on my own, apart from what you want. We'd be crazy to refuse that kind of offer. Right. But all day long, many people are refusing that same offer when they refuse to believe in Jesus as their Savior. He has given Himself. He has redeemed us if we will call upon Him. We can have salvation through Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross to pay for not His sins. Remember, He's the propitiation. He's the sinless substitute. He died not for His sins, but for my sins, for your sins, the sins of the whole world, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can have salvation through Jesus Christ and because of Jesus. When we believe on Him, we are repenting of our sins, saying, yes, Lord, I am guilty. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I ask You to be my Savior. I receive the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sins. You can pray a prayer like that right here, right now, today. You don't have to wait till you get home. You don't have to wait till the end of the service till we invite you to come forward. You don't have to wait till tomorrow to schedule an appointment with somebody. You can do it right here, right now. Call upon Jesus and make Him your Savior. As it says that He is just, and He is the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. He has paid our debt, and all we have to do is receive it by simple faith. Yes, Lord, I receive that gift of Your grace, that gift of Your mercy, the beauty and the love of God on display. He did not have to do that. What judge today do you see stepping down saying, you've got a $1,000 fine, let me write a check for you. Next, let me write a check for you. Next, let me write a check for you. Next, let me write a check for you. And on down the line, all day long. Can you imagine that? A judge would probably be bankrupt pretty soon. But thank God, He is not bankrupt and He never will be. That gift is for whosoever. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. The grace of God has appeared to all people. And that grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to all people. And so as we get back into the book of Nahum, we see that that God of grace in verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. If we would just say, yes, Lord, I will receive that gift of Your grace. Yes, Lord, I will receive that gift of Your salvation. He becomes that stronghold to us. But if we don't, we will have to face that judge of the universe. And that is a very scary thing, as it says in Nahum 1. The mountains quake at Him, the hills melt, the earth is burned in His presence. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? God is angry at sin. And one day sin will be judged forever. That's a scary thing to think about. But we can have salvation. It's there for us if we have not believed. Now I want to zoom out for just a minute, not just speaking about the individual, but speaking about the nation. Nahum is speaking to a nation of people. The book of Romans, I think, written more for the individual to think about. Let's zoom out and think about it. How many of us, if it hadn't been for the Bible, if it hadn't been for books like Nahum and Jonah and other parts of Scripture, we'd have no clue about Assyria and the Assyrian Empire unless we're just really, really into world history. Many of us probably, when I said the word Assyria, if you hadn't heard that before, you're probably saying, who's the Assyrians? I never heard of them before. Well, look at our nation today. I think that we're following the same pattern as Assyria was following. And we don't see the change instantly. It's a slow step by step by step, year after year, falling away, going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, further and further and further away from the Lord. And we see that across our land today. I think that God is trying to really get our attention through everything that's going on. God sent Jonah to preach, and the people repented and got right. And they were at a crossroads at that time. I think America is at a crossroads. I think that God is really speaking loud and clear to us in 2020 and all the things that's going on in our nation at this time. And I believe that God is in control. Many people see the devil working and trying to manipulate and stirring up chaos. I think God is speaking to try to get our attention and say, what's really important to you? And many Christians across this land are calling out to God like never before, seeking His face like never before. My concern is this, that just like we had forgotten about the Assyrians, just like the sands of time have buried the ruins of ancient Nineveh, could we, 1,000 years from now, if Christ delays His coming, will they be saying, America? America who? I don't know anything about the Americans. Washington, D.C., I've never even heard of that. Could we be forgotten to the sands of time and be swept away? God does not owe America anything. God does not owe our nation anything whatsoever. It is we who must look to Him. It is we who must seek Him. It is we who must put Him first in our lives. There's no special privilege for America in the eyes of God. Now, know that we have many righteous people in this country. And it's up to us. We are the ones at the crossroads. We can decide. I'm going to pray like never before for our nation. I'm going to pray and ask God to intervene. I'm going to pray and ask God to send a great move of His Holy Spirit in these days. And I'm not trying to be fanatical or to, you know, act like some kind of a prophet or whatever else, but just simply to say, I believe that God is setting and has set some things in motion already for another great move of revival in our land, for another great awakening that we desperately need. I see too much evidence of that when I look around at various circles of Christians who are calling out to God, asking God for prayer. And did you know this coming Saturday, for instance, in Washington, D.C., two separate prayer events were planned. One was called The Return. I think it's going to be around the Lincoln Memorial. And that was planned, and that was organized by one group. And then Brother Franklin Graham organized another prayer march around the National Mall from noon to 2. And both events were planned for this coming Saturday at the same time, the same location in Washington, D.C., with the same goal, seeking the Lord in prayer for our nation. And they had no connection in terms of planning and preparing, and the Lord is doing great things. Not just those two events, there's many other things. Right here in Bristol, there's some sister churches coming together for a prayer rally at the Cumberland Square Park at noon and throughout the day this coming Saturday. We'll be telling more about that. But our church has a time at 2 o'clock there in the park next Saturday for a prayer march, praying over our city and praying over our nation and praying for God to intervene. All that I'm saying is that we are at a crossroads, and I believe that we can go one way or the other. And it's up to us to decide, are we going to seek God like never before? Are we going to call out to God on behalf of our family like never before? On behalf of our friends like never before? On behalf of our community like never before? Are we going to keep seeking the face of Almighty God? Or are we going to be just saying, this nation's going down south. What's the point of trying? We're too far gone. Let's just give up. Let's just throw in the towel. Let's just sit here and take it easy till Jesus comes to get us, or sweet death takes me out of here. You know, some people have that attitude that I'm just going to sit here and wait around. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm right with God. And whatever happens to this nation happens. You know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. I think if we don't begin to seek God, you know, we can just kiss this country goodbye. I hate to be so blunt, but I think that's the way it is. And sin in our individual lives, in our community, in our nation, is the same way. It's not instantaneous. It's a slow decision, little by little, trying to say, well, it's really not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. And we slide away, and we slide away. And year after year after year, we're seeing our country slide away. And we need to be the ones at this important time in our country that say, I've got to seek the face of God. Like 2 Chronicles 7:14, we quote that all the time here. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I believe that we have to step in at this time. We don't abandon our nation at this desperate hour, but we come in with prayer. We come in saying, yes, Christ is the answer. Yes, He is the one we must turn to. We can seek the face of God like never before, and I believe we can expect God to work and move in a very powerful way. As I said, I think things are already in motion if we will keep seeking Him like we have been. And if you are here today, and you are at the crossroads of your personal salvation, do not leave here today without knowing that Jesus is your Savior. It would thrill me, nothing would thrill me more than to be able to take my Bible, to answer the questions that you may have, to help you to understand what we're talking about when we're saying, put your faith in Christ. If this is all just foreign to you and you don't know what I'm even talking about, nothing would give me a greater joy than to show you how much Jesus does love you, how He wants to set you free from your sins. You can call upon Him today. So whatever crossroads that you are at, let's seek the Lord together today. Let's bow our heads for a time of prayer and invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence again. We thank you that, yes, Lord, you are just. You're the just judge of all the universe. But you're also the justifier of all who would believe. And I pray, and I know how you laid this message upon my heart. And I pray for those that are at that crossroads. They're trying to decide which way to go. Are they going to turn to Christ? Are they going to turn away from Christ? Lord, I pray that you would give them eyes of faith to see how much you love them, how much you want to set them free from the shackles of their sins. And Lord, that you would deliver them, that you would set them free, that you would remove those chains of sin that's bound them for so many years. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that across this auditorium, across those who may be joining us on video, that whoever, wherever they may be, that you would speak to their hearts in a very definite way this very second. Lord, please show them who they are and who you are and how much you love them. And Lord, I pray for those of us who have already received you as Savior, that you would help us to get a burden for the crossroads that our country is in, the crossroads that our city of Bristol, Virginia is in. And Lord, I pray that we would intercede on behalf of our country, on behalf of our nation, and that we would turn to you with eyes of faith, and that we would seek you like never before, dear Lord. Help us to continue to obey 2 Chronicles 7:14 and other wonderful scriptures from your word. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. They're going to come and sing for us, and Pastor Brad's going to come and give the invitation. And we'll turn the service back over to Pastor Brad.
Thank you, Josh. Hallelujah. Hey, let's stand with our heads bowed. You got a song for us, girl. You know, church, there's no accident where we are today. If you noticed in the reading that Josh read this morning, it says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind, the hurricane, literally, the tornado. He has his way. Don't you think he's speaking? Could anybody be blind enough, foolish enough to say he's not speaking to America? Oh, he's speaking to all the lands. He spoke to Nineveh. He spoke to Israel. He speaks to all the nations. Everywhere there's a human inhabitant, he's speaking. But here in America, God is saying to us, hey, look up. Realize who I am. I want to be your Savior. I want to live in you. And if you won't have me, then it's just judgment. What he says to nations is the same. Will you as a nation? Now, who's the nation? Is it the borders? No, it's us. It's the people. Will you have me? Nineveh experienced a great forgiveness of God under Jonah's preaching. Great mercy. How could we forget? But in America, we're the same. Don't let God pass you by. You're at a crossroads. Probably every person in this auditorium right now, this morning, and those watching by Facebook or internet, there's areas in your life where God wants to conquer. You won't give it to him. You're fighting that yourself, you think. And you never beat it. You're not going to win. Oh, that's pessimism. No, it's reality. Because God wants to live in you. He wants to conquer that for you. He's the only one that can. Oh, I'll do better. No, he has to do it. Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York City, best mayor they ever had. They named LaGuardia Airport after him. He shut the porn industry down there. Yeah, this was back in the 20s, 30s. He called them garbage dumps. And he was right. he did so many reforms is amazing. His mother was Jewish. His dad was Italian. LaGuardia was sitting as the judge in night court. He took that position. He sat as judge in night court. The officers brought in a woman who was caught red-handed stealing. Red-handed, stolen from one of the street vendors in New York City. If you've ever been there, you know what it's like. They brought her in. She stood before the judge. Said, "And how do you plead?" She said, "Sir, I'm guilty. I did steal. My family was hungry. I didn't have food for them. I went to the street vendors and I stole. And I'm sorry for it. But I did steal. And I stole from my family." LaGuardia looked at her. A just man, an honest man. He slammed the gavel down and said, "By your own words, you are guilty. And stealing is against the law. And it's in plain view of this court, and without question, that you owe for these products. I charge you $100 for this." She looks at him in helplessness. "Your Honor, if I had the money, I wouldn't have stole." He said, "You're still guilty. You're still charged. The verdict is you owe $100 to this court or so many days in jail." But then he turned to the officers of the court, the bailiff, the other officers that were there. "But," he said, "I order this court, myself included, to pay your fine because they live in a city where a woman has to steal to feed her family. So I and these officers of the court will pay your fine. But never forget, you're guilty. Someone paid your fine. And someone paid your price. Don't you forget, you're guilty. I'm guilty. But somebody paid my fine. Somebody took my place. His name's Jesus. Will you have him today? Oh, what a Savior. Will you want to pay that fine yourself? You don't have enough to pay it. Hell can't pay it. That's the reason they're there suffering today. Hell can't pay it. Only one could pay it, and that was Jesus. Because he's judge and justifier, as Josh preached. He is. So right now, if you need mercy instead of justice, I'm going to ask you to pray right where you are or come to this altar. And you can pray that for yourself or for our nation. Will you do that? God, help us right where we are. Have mercy on us, Lord, in this time of invitation, God, those watching as well. Have mercy on them, Lord. Help us in these days. Father, come to Thee. Lord, You're just. No question about it. The most holy of all the beings that will ever stand before is God Himself. I shudder to think standing there before Him without the covering of the Lord Jesus, without the blood of Christ applied. I shudder to think standing before a holy God that could instantly annihilate the entire world and everyone in it. But His mercy has been extended. Lord, may we accept that mercy today. Not only accept it, may we beg for it. May we ask You, Lord, to forgive and to cleanse us. Have mercy on our nation, Father. Help us, Father, today. Go through every room of our heart. I ask, Lord, for all of our people here, I hope they'll pray this prayer that I'm about to pray. Lord Jesus, please go through every room in my heart. Cleanse every room by the blood of Jesus. Empty every room of everything that you don't want in there. Cleanse every part of me by the blood of Jesus. And then, Lord, sit on the throne in that room. Make yourself king in that room. Do that today, Lord. Do it now. I surrender all. Do it now, Lord. And I'll thank you for it. I'll give you the praise. The rest of my life is yours. All my days are thine. I commit it all to thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, church. Our Lord is in that business. Aren't you glad He still has mercy? Hallelujah. He still redeems. He still cleanses. And He'll do that for you today. What a blessing. How many of God's helped you today? Just slip up your hand. He's helped me in this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You guys come up and play me a instrumental. We'll receive an offering for you. Play real good now. We won't get much if you don't. But anyway, now I love them. Let's receive a love offering. You got? Have you got the plates? Or go get ours, John. Bring the ushers. Come if you would. We want to love on these folks. Hallelujah. And we're grateful for them. We love them. We're glad to be a part of their ministry and to have some a little portion. Everything you give to them will absolutely go to them, plus more. So we encourage you to give this morning. Let's love on them. How would you like to be out of work for 9 months and get to come back? And our church is just blessed to have them here. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be part of the ministry and have a portion in this morning. So if you can, whatever you can give, everything that you'll give, we'll be sure and share with them. All righty. Let's ask His blessings. Father, bless the offering now. Supply the needs of the Macklemore, Father. I know You will. Meet every need they have out of the storehouse of heaven. Help us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to make a check out to the church, you can do that. We will in turn give them a check. All right? God bless you. Here, fellas. blessing. That's a blessed version of how great thou art I ever heard. Amen. Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. I love that. That's a blessing, and I rejoice in that. I tell you what, I just love music, and it's good. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here. Let's see. We have announcements. We forgot them, didn't we? What do you want me to say, Josh? Josh is going to do this. That's what I'm going to say. Josh is coming to make announcements right now.
Well, just a couple of things real fast. You can see Miss Sharon Nunn. She's got the Bags of Love. That's a Christmas outreach to all of our shut-ins, widows, widowers. And we've got some more that need to be adopted, so to speak, that we can get some Christmas gifts. We're still collecting some crayons that will go to Africa. One of our missionaries, I believe, is going to be in the area, I think it's next week, to pick those up. So if you're wanting to be involved with that, this is the last opportunity for that. So you can get those in. We've had a good response to that. Thank you for that. As I said, there's the Revival Prayer Walks, information in the bulletin about that. Our church will have a short devotion around 2 o'clock there at Cumberland Square Park, a time of prayer. Then we'll go on a walk around some of the downtown area of Bristol. And that's next Saturday. So they've got at the top of every hour from noon till 6, that same kind of thing. So if you can't be there with us at 2 o'clock, you want to be there at noon, you want to be there at 6 in the evening, every hour on top of the hour, they'll begin with another church, another ministry leading that. So that's this coming Saturday. If you want to go all the way up to a D.C. for that, that would be great too. So anyways, that's a couple of quick announcements. This right here, the Food City School Bucks, our preschool is a part of that. There is not a barcode that you can take to the store this year. You have to go do everything online. So information is here about that, but it is now time to sign back up for that, and we can give you some help with that if you need that. I think that's all the announcements. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. And just to say that if we can minister to you, you know, just because the invitation time ended doesn't mean that it's over, but if you need to talk to someone, we'd love to talk with you. Please make sure you see and visit with the McLemore family. They have their CDs and their table set up back at the back. Just love on them. Let them know how much you appreciate them being with us.
Amen.
Pastor Brad.
Thank you, Josh. All right. And if you don't have a computer at home, you don't know how to get online. Matter of fact, you thought online was clothespins on a clothes out. That's not exactly what they're talking about here. But anyway, we'll help you, okay, right here. Just thought I'd throw that in there. We'll help you. We got laptops where I thought a laptop was sitting in my grandma's lap, but that's not even new. That's not even real anymore. But anyway, we've got laptops and everything. We can help you get online, and it'll be a help to our preschool. Don't forget our drive-through prayer time tonight as well. And I want to encourage you to be part of this prayer time next Saturday. Now, I got to go. I'll be up in D.C., and I wish I could say for the prayer time, but my family, we got a memorial service for my cousin who went to heaven, so I'll be involved in that. But if you're not going to D.C. for that prayer march, believe me, there's going to be a lot of heathens up there that need prayer, and they're not going to be there to pray either. So you be here and be involved in this. Josh, you're going to be leading that prayer time devotion at 2, aren't you? And support him in that, okay? God bless you. I love you, church. Thank you for being here. Visit with the McLemores back there. Get their autograph and whatever you need to do. And that way you can have them and take CDs home with you, okay? God bless you. I love you. Thanks for coming.